Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
My faith is a big part of who Herman Cain is.
Amazing grace will always be my song of praise.
I think it's outrageous that they will not support him because he is a Mormon.
Why didn't Christ return on October 21? It seems embarrassing for family radio, but God was in charge of everything.
What confessional Lutheranism has is that clear teaching of Christ alone, solus Christus, Christ for us.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
It's not at all unusual, if you watch any professional sports, to see a player after some play has gone particularly well, a success out there on the field of battle. They'll point to the sky. Maybe they look up. They might cross themselves. Well, if you're Denver Broncos quarterback Tim Tebow, you might even get down on your knees and pray. You might even do that. But why is someone like Tebow singled out by the media nowadays? Because, not because of his performance on the field, but because of those kinds of things on the field, an open profession of Christian faith. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 9th. Sarah Pulliam Bailey joins us from GetReligion.org to answer that question and talk about media coverage also of hip churches, particularly in the New York Times. A little bit later, the Issues, Etc. comment line will be responding to your comments and your questions there on the comment line. After that, Dr. Gene Edward Veith will join us to round off this first hour. Dr. Gene Edward Veith from Patrick Henley College is joining us to talk about God's design for the family. He has some profound things to say. We conclude our six-part series on biblical chronology in the second hour of the program. We'll talk about the New Testament church, the New Testament era. Dr. Andrew Steinman will be our guest. And Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Center, will join us for the last few minutes to discuss Christianity under opposition. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can leave a question or a comment on biblical chronology at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Sarah Pulliam Bailey is a regular guest. She's a contributor to GetReligion.org and online editor for Christianity Today. Sarah, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
That's what I'm wondering about. Why does the media sometimes single out like Tim Tebow, Kurt Warner? You've written recently about Tebow being singled out for his religious faith. Why is that?
I think Tebow is actually a little bit different from some of the other athletes. We see examples of Tony Dungy or Kurt Warner in the past kind of having a spotlight occasionally. Tebow is just on a different level because I think it goes back to the commercial that he filmed for the Super Bowl in 2010. And people were worried that would be an anti-abortion commercial. And so, since then, he has still been pretty outspoken about his faith. So it's raised these kinds of questions like, you know, is it okay to just drop down on your praying in the middle of a game? And so I think it's brought it kind of to a new level where how do we think about these public expressions of faith on the field?
Talk about that ad, if you would, and how it has been portrayed in the media. You say it's been called an anti-abortion ad.
Right.
But
right.
Did it say anything
but
about
it's
abortion?
Not. It wasn't. So back to the commercial, you know, which was filmed with focus on the family, it was more of a kind of a friendly, pro-family message. There was nothing about abortion. But if you know the backstory about Tim Tebow, his mom had, when she was pregnant with Tebow, her doctor had recommended that she have an abortion when they were in the Philippines. And she chose not to, and now we have Tim Tebow. And so if you know that backstory, you can kind of infer that there's this abortion story in the background, but the actual ad that aired during the Super Bowl had nothing to do with abortion. And so there's this new New York Times article that we've been looking at this week that kind of looked at, you know, why Tim Tebow was so polarizing, and it mentioned the ad as anti-abortion, but that's misportrayed if you look back at the actual ad.
Now, add to this, not only stories like the New York Times piece, but these things kind of keep their legs because they're posted online, and the internet becomes this fertile ground for kind of a meta story around a media coverage. What have you noted about comments on that piece?
Yes. So I think, like I said, I think it's been brewing, I mean, during Tim Tebow's college days, and then with the Super Bowl ad, and then with the NFL starting again and him starting as the quarterback for the Broncos. It's kind of every time Tim Tebow comes up, he writes a book, he does these things like, you know, bring it all back. And people love it. People eat it up because the more people hate him, the other side loves him, or the other way around. The more people love him, the more people hate him. So it's like this never-ending cycle. And so it's kind of fun to write about, you know, if you're a journalist and you're like, oh, any polarizing person or subject is always kind of fun to write about. And that, so in the New York Times piece that I looked at, the reporter had looked at one ESPN article and said, oh, look at these comments. And my point is, you can't necessarily look at one ESPN article at the comments section, because if you think about the people who are more likely to comment on a story, they're going to tend to be one way or the other. They're not going to take kind of an overall look. Or that, in my experience, that's not my experience on the internet. So I think that's why these stories keep coming back, is people really like to talk about public expressions of faith and when is it appropriate to kneel down. There's this new internet craze, Tebowing. It's kind of a jokey thing where if you just kneel down and start praying in the middle while everybody's doing something else, it's called Tebowing. And Tim Tebow has joked about that on his Twitter feed and, you know, has kind of laughed at it or whatever. So it is something that people want to talk about, and that's why it keeps coming back on Get Religion.
Well, real quickly, is part of it that these professional athletes actually do their job on television most of the time? We are watching it unfold, success or failure, in real time, and the media always understands religion and Christianity in particular about, well, if you're doing God good, it must be because God is smiling on you, something like that.
Yeah, I think, so that's part of the question. I think you have this school of thought that religion shouldn't be involved in sports at all. But then you have these athletes that have a very open, and they want to express their faith in open ways. And Tim Tebow happens to do that in a more visible way. We used to see it on his eye black, which is not permitted in the NFL, so we don't see it anymore. But so he does it in different ways, kneeling on the ground or whatever. And so you see these very open expressions. And so that raises questions. How are we to think about that? Is that too in your face? Is that strategic? Is that annoying, you know? And so, and people like to talk about that because it's not just sports, it's raising sports to a new level of how are we to think about God's hand in sports? You know, does he want one team to win or the other? The other simple thing that people are talking about is whether Tim Tebow is a good quarterback or not. And so the people who don't think he's good, there's some question, oh, are you just being anti-religious? So there's a question of excellence and whether he's a good athlete or not.
You've also recently written about another New York Times piece dealing with, well, what shall we call it, hipster Christianity, or at least that's the way the Times is trying to cast it. What did you find there, Sarah?
My friend Brett McCracken has written a book on hipster Christianity. So it is a trend that does exist out there where these, you know, evangelicals are trying to make or create a faith that is palatable to people who are hip. And so it's something that is there and it's something that exists. The question the thing that I'd like to see the New York Times do is take it to a deeper level. So if you're trying to make religion hip, what happens when they take theological stances that aren't necessarily hip? Say they're against same-sex marriage. Well, is that hip? Is that cool? can you be hip and take certain theological stances? So what I would have liked to see in this New York Times article, the title was A Congregation in Skinny Jeans, what I would have liked to see is a little bit more depth and more than just knowing what kind of music they listen to, what clothes they listen to. They were just kind of startled that, oh, there's a cool church out there.
So is it just a fundamental misunderstanding on the part of the Times or the rest of the media that how someone dresses or what they look like does not necessarily have anything to do with what they believe, especially for Christians? About a minute here, Sarah.
Sure. I think there is something to explore there. There's an interesting quote at the end of the article about how this pastor is trying to battle the trend of irony and sarcasm and not meaning what you want to say and being authentic. So how do you do religion in the hipster scene? And so I think there are questions that you could deal with. You could look at, okay, so they dress this way, they act this way, they listen to this music. How does it influence their theology? What does that mean about what they believe? How do they treat people when they come in, and how do they create this like so-called authentic community when everybody's trying to be ironic? So I think there's room for a story to be done on that. I just think the Times executed it poorly.
Sarah Pulliam Bailey is a contributor to GetReligion.org, an online editor for Christianity Today. Sarah, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to pick up the Issues Etc. comment line and hear what you, our listeners, have to say, answer, and respond to the questions or comments that are there. By the way, you can also pick up that line and call anytime, 618-223-8384. It's the Issues Etc. listener comment line. Open for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for anything you want to say. You'll see on the other side of the break. We'll respond to it all. 618-223-8384. The Issues Etc. comment line and our responses on the other side of the break. Then we'll talk with Dr. Gene Edward Veith about God's design of the family. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. And Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
How do many leaders of pop American Christianity misinterpret the Great Commission? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled The Not-So-Great Commission, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Kelly Klagis details her journey from parachurch fellowships to confessional Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal at issuesetc.org.